Philippians chapter 4, as we are looking forward to the one day a year, and it's kind of odd that we take one day a year to be thankful, when really the scriptures time and time again call us to live a life of thanksgiving. Like, they're over and over and over in the scriptures, we are called to be thankful for everything, even in the midst of hardship, that we're to be thankful. And if we're honest, as we talked about last week, thankfulness is something that often eludes us. And it eludes us because often we take for granted what we have to be thankful for. And we often fail to actually honor God. We all actually fail to understand just how blessed we actually are. And we know also we love to gauge our blessedness or our thankfulness against what we see in everybody else. And we get caught up in this race of, well, I don't have that, or I don't have that like she has that or like he has that, and therefore, what do I have to be thankful for, right? And we miss the true calling of what we are, or the true reason we are to be thankful. And so we spent last week looking at some keys to a life of thanksgiving. And last week we started off in the beginning of chapter 4 of Philippians, and we went through verse 4, and I lined out three keys there. If you remember, the first key was a key to a life of thanksgiving is a firm foundation. And in verse 1, Paul calls these brothers and sisters in this church in Philippi to stand firm thus in the Lord. And so we kind of talked about last week that if we are ever going to begin to live a life of thankfulness, it's going to be because we are grounded in Christ. Amen. That He is our foundation. That He is the reason that we have hope. That He is the reason why I even have breath in my lungs today is the Lord Jesus Christ. That I do not lay my foundation on the shaky things of the world, but I have rested my foundation upon Christ, who is the solid rock. And if I do not have that firm foundation, what will happen? I will waver and I will toss. I will be as James warned about. I'll be a person who is tossed to and fro by every wave of the sea because I do not have a foundation to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was the first thing. The second is we have to have an intentional love. If we are going to live a life of thanksgiving, it has to come because we intentionally love. And we saw this in Paul talks about these people are his beloved, how he loves them and how they are his beloved. And then he immediately goes into talking about two ladies who are causing all kinds of havoc in the church. And we see out of that that Paul is even saying, I love these women who are making life hard on me. So this is an intentional love. This isn't just he's a feeling love for them. This is an intentional love that he has for them. He is thankful for what the Lord has brought him to and what the Lord has given him, and even thankful for those who make life hard on him. This is an intentional love. It's contrary to what we actually live out. We tend to think that love is based on a feeling, or I love you because I like you. But no. Paul and the scriptures talk about love being something other than that, something greater than that, something where I give of myself to you, whether I think you deserve it or not. Where do we see that? We see that in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives himself for sinners like me and sinners like you, who left his throne, who though he was in the form of God, did not count what to be on the same status as God as a thing to be grasped, but instead humbled himself to be the form of a servant and was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's intentional love. And we will not grow in thankfulness if we don't also grow in our intentions to love others, even those who we, in sometimes our pride, seem or think are unlovable. Last thing we saw last week was in verse 4 when Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I will say, rejoice. And I said, if we're going to have a life of thankfulness, it is because we have a deliberate joy. And if you notice, as we said last week, Paul does not say, have joy in whatever circumstance you're in right now. He's not saying find joy or rejoice in whatever hardship you're at. You know, he says rejoice where? In the Lord. We have to rejoice in the Lord. True thankfulness will only come as we understand that Christ is the ultimate means of our joy. That we have so much more than we could ever hope or imagine. That in Christ, as Peter will say, that secured in Christ, we have an inheritance that is perfect. It's undefiled. It's unfading. It's incorruptible. And it's kept in heaven for you and for me. And so we can go through this life, whether it has the ups and downs, whether the Lord has taken us to green pastures and quiet waters, or whether we are down in the dumps in the valley of the shadow of death, we can rejoice because of Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. So that was last week. Now this week we're going to get in the rest of this little section. We're going to go through verse 9. And I want to give you three more keys. So I give you six keys, so you ought to be able to be good, right? Six keys to a life of thanksgiving. Look at verse 5 with me next. After he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice, Paul says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Look what he says next. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Next key to a life of thanksgiving is a perfect assurance. A perfect assurance. Paul says, the Lord is at hand. And then he says, do not be anxious for anything. You got to stop right there and you got to think about this. First of all, people get all mixed up with what he's talking about when he says the Lord is at hand. He's not talking about the second coming. He's not looking forward to the Christ's return. That's not what the context is. Philippians doesn't talk at all about the second coming of Christ. That's not what he means. What he says when he says the Lord is at hand is he means don't ever forget that the Lord is right with you. That the Lord is near. That you don't have to worry about anything because the Lord is always right by your side. Whatever you have been worried about, the Lord is right there. Whatever hardship you're going through, the Lord is right there. Whatever blessing you're living in right now, the Lord is right there. And so what he's saying is, we have to live in this assurance that Christ is always with me. That I'm never left alone. This is the call of David in Psalm 23, is it not? For I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is the assurance. If we are going to live a life of thanksgiving, it will only come so much as we completely have this understanding and assurance that the Lord is always with us. I read a story about a man that was on a ship that was torpedoed during the Second World War. And the ship sank. And most of the people got out of the ship and they were in a life raft. And unfortunately, they were picked up by a German ship. And when they were picked up, they were all thrown down in a dirty holding area in the bottom of the ship. And everybody was scared. They didn't know what was going to come of their life. And one of the men who was in the situation told a story later on about that. And he says this, I want to quote, he wrote a little book about it. And he says, I began to commune with the Lord. He's down there in this ship. He had just been sunk. He gets saved by the enemy. He's down in this ship, and he says, I began to commune with the Lord. He says, at first I couldn't sleep. Then the Lord reminded me of Psalm 121, which says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not be moved. He who keeps you will never slumber. And he says, so I said, Lord, there's no use for both of us staying awake if you're going to keep watch. I'll thank you for some sleep, and I got it, he said. That's security. That's a perfect assurance. In the midst of this situation, he was able to rest completely because he had an assurance that the Lord was at hand. That the Lord is right there with him. That's practicing living in his presence. What do you have to fear? The Lord is here. Man-made securities are never more than tissue paper towers. Money, fame, friends, bombs, armies, medicines, hospitals. None of those can accomplish anything. But Christ in us secures us through everything. We have a real security. Do you know that? This is something, if you're struggling with your thankfulness, this is one of the things you got to look at. Am I living with that confidence to know that Christ is never far from me? That he never leaves me, he never forsakes me. That this is a promise that he gives. I fear so much time we get so caught up in all kinds of other things that we forget that simple truth. And we spiritualize passages like this where we want to look forward to something that this is not even talked about. He's not talking about the second coming. That's certainly to come. But that's not what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about the abiding assurance that you and I can have that no matter what, Christ is there. He has never left me. So that's the second key. A life of thanksgiving involves a confident sense of assurance. It involves true joy. It involves intentional love. And involves a firm foundation. Now move on in this passage with me. Look at verses 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The next key, the fifth key, if you will, to a life of thanksgiving is a purposeful prayer life. A purposeful prayer life. What, this is something that I know, I guarantee it, nobody would raise their hand, but we all should. If the question is asked, how many of us struggle with our prayer life? Every one of us should raise our hand, because we do. And the thing is, our prayer life is so, our thankfulness and our life of joy are so wrapped up in this idea of coming to the Lord in prayer. This is what Paul gets at when he says, do not be anxious about anything. Why? Why can I not be? Because what? You can go to the Lord in prayer. You can go to the Lord in pleading, in your supplications. You can go to the Lord with your thankfulness. You can go to the Lord with your worries. And what is the promise? He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you're struggling with being thankful, start working to be intentional in your prayer life. See, because this is the way it works. Prayer, God knows us. He made us. And He knows how we work. And He knows what works in us. And He's given us prayer for way more than you can ever imagine. See, prayer develops thankfulness by providing a dedicated space, if you will, where we actively reflect and express our gratitude and our blessings in our life. In prayer, this is a spot where we actually have to stop. And we have to think about what we're thankful for. And then we have to rejoice and give thanks to the One. It reminds us from where our blessings come. See, prayer is an opportunity to consciously acknowledge the good things that we often take for granted. And it cultivates in us a life of thanksgiving. Prayer is this gift that God has given us to not only commune and speak with Him and to open our hearts to Him, to talk to Him about everything about us and our fears and our worries, but also to be reminded that in Him we have everything. And that as we sit down and think, no matter how tough things are, we always can sit down and realize that we have something that the Lord has blessed us with to be thankful. And prayer works in us to remember that as we focus purposely on prayer, to think about what. So if you struggle with your prayer life, sometimes you're like, well, I don't know what to pray. Think about your life. Think about your life. And when something comes up as you sit there and you pray and you're struggling, you lay that out to the Lord. I'm struggling with this, Lord. But when you know that there's a blessing, you say, thank you, Lord. And it doesn't, it's something that builds. But it's intrinsic, it's essential for a life of thankfulness. So when praying, I'll give you two things to think about. First is contemplation. When praying, intentionally take time to think about the positive aspects of your life. And name those things out to the Lord. That's the second. Actively give thanks. So think about it and then actively give thanks. Verbally express thanks to God. Because it reminds us from whom our blessings come. So a life of thanksgiving involves a purposeful prayer. A perfect assurance, true joy, intentional love, and a firm footing. Last one, let's go to verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Last point, the key to a life of thanksgiving is a focus on what is worthy of praise. And this might be the most difficult. We are in a time right now where I know people are all up in arms and all in turmoil because they're wrapped up in everything from wars and rumors of wars to politics and elections and this is stolen, that is stolen. And we're so caught up in the ugly things of the world, no wonder we don't have any thankfulness. And here's what Paul says. Get that stinking thinking out of your mind. Focus on what is good. Focus on what is pure. Focus on what is lovely. Don't be caught up. Christian, listen to me. Don't be caught up in the silly political nonsense debates and all the ugliness that's out there because there's no blessing in it. I'm not saying you can't have your political opinion. That's not what I'm saying. I have mine. I just keep it to myself. You don't need to know mine. I don't really need to know yours. It's right? But don't focus on that. You want to know why you have no thankfulness? Because you're so wrapped up in thinking of ugly things and not beautiful things. As if us thinking about these ugly things can change any of it. And as if, even if I could change all the ugly things in the world, that would ultimately bring about the good end. No. We're not waiting. We're not waiting for the United States of America to be some great nation that it never was. We're waiting for a kingdom that is to come. For here we have no lasting city. For we seek the city that is to come. Doesn't mean that we don't seek to live rightly. Doesn't mean that we should vote our conscience. We should do all the, obviously we should be involved in all these things. But we get so wrapped up in the ugly. I've seen it. I didn't even want to talk about politics with this, but this, it's the context we're in right now. You go on stupid social media and it's nothing but people bickering back and forth, fighting about this and about it. It's all ugly. It's all ugly. You got families who you're a stupid libtard, you can't come to Thanksgiving. Where you're an evil, stinking MAGA, whatever, you can't come to. It's all ugly. It's all, and guess what? The Lord is not honored in that. And that life will not produce a life of thankfulness. What produces a life of thankfulness? Focusing on what's beautiful. I have a 2-week-old granddaughter. She's beautiful. I just had my nephew for the first time in his life, little guy, doesn't like anybody, came up and grabbed my hand this morning and let me walk him around. That's beautiful. I get to sing with you guys the praises of God about my sure and steady anchor. That's beautiful. We're going to fellowship later on today and eat some great food and have some great conversation in a building that's way too loud. It's beautiful. You got small groups that meet together and get involved with each other's life and pray for each other. It's beautiful. You have an opportunity to just give a smile and a hello to a stranger on the street who might be hurting. Beautiful. You want a life of thanksgiving? Focus on those things and less on the ugliness of the world. Because I promise you, our focusing on that will neither bring us joy or thankfulness, nor will it fix the situation. But what is the promise here? The promise here. If there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And what's the promise? And the God of peace will be with you. How many times have you felt like God is really far away? He's not. But His peace might be. Because you're so caught up in thinking about the things of the world and not the beautiful things that He has blessed you with. Let us take time. Let us make this not a one day a year thing. But let's be intentional about building our life on Christ, the firm foundation. Let's be intentional to be people of love. Even people that are hard to love. Let's be intentional about seeking to be joyful in all circumstances. Let's be intentional about prayer. Let's be intentional about the security we have that the Lord is always with me. And let's be intentional about focusing on what is good and pure and holy and beautiful and worthy of praise, and put aside the ugliness of the world. And I think as we seek to do those things, we will grow in a life of thanksgiving. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you I need help with all these things like all of us do, Lord. I need your spirit. I need you to work these things in me. We long to have lives of thankfulness. And we know, Lord, that you will provide it as we seek to live trusting in you and resting in you, hoping in you and focused on you. Would you use us, Father? Use our small church to be of a great tool for you in this community. Would you take us out of this building and be people who smile and love and hug and bless? Use us, Father, to bring thankfulness to others as we seek to be thankful for you. And we know we can do this because as we're about to sing, Lord, that Jesus has paid it all. That everything that you demand from me, you have given to me in your Son. And therefore I can rejoice and I can be thankful and I can be a blessing. Work in us, Father. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you.